Hi, guys. Thank you for your continued support of the Paleo Solution Podcast. I also wanted to take a moment and thank two of our wonderful podcast sponsors. The first is Thrive Market. Thrive is a new online marketplace offering the world's best-selling natural and organic products at wholesale prices. If Costco and Whole Foods Online got together at a rave and got liquored up, their child would look a lot like Thrive Market. So the way that Thrive works, for less than $5 a month, about $59.95 annually, you get a membership that gives you access to more than 2,500 of the highest quality food, supplement, home, personal care, and beauty products. Those are all delivered straight to your door and at 25 to 50% below retail price. Orders above $49 are free, but that's only in the continental United States. RobWolf.com followers get a free two-month Thrive Market membership, as well as 20% off of your first order. So go to thrivemarket.com/Rob Wolf, and you can get in on that deal. Our second podcast sponsor is Hylete. Check out Hylete's innovative athletic apparel at Hylete.com. If you love Hylete, and I absolutely do, you can love a whole lot more of them, because if you enter the code ROBWOLF50, ROBBWOLF50, you receive a holy cat's worthy 50% off your purchase. Thank you again, and it's time for the show. Howdy, folks. Rob Wolf here, another edition of the Paleo Solution Podcast. Very excited today. One of my best friends, adventure travel buddies, the author of the quasi-official Paleo Solution cookbook, but the best-selling book that goes by the name Paleo Comfort Foods, founder of Atlanta Strength and Conditioning, newfound convert to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Charles Mayfield. Charles, how you doing?
Rob, I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm good. We're just trying to get stuff done at the Lazy Lobo Ranch. We've got chickens, we've got some goats and sheep on order. I'm trying to kick Nikki's ass in a food production contest. She's building some hoogle mounds. I'm doing a food forest, and currently I am dramatically in the lead. So that stuff's all fun. How are you guys doing?
We're well. I'm excited to say, hopefully by the time this podcast airs, we will be reunited. Julie and I have been apart for the better part of about 5 weeks. Kind of got caught up in a crazy rent, lease, tenant, new house, old house bugger over the last month or so. So closed on our new house last Monday, and movers are coming this coming Monday. So anxious to get the family back together. I get updates from Julie like via video and picture of Scott and Adeline and Julie like picking fresh berries in the morning at the Tennessee farm, and I get these while I'm trotting along to the gym to train some folks, and I'm like, I don't know why they'd come back, but I'm excited they're doing it. So yeah, no, we're good. The gyms have been busy and trying to expand. We've actually picked up a couple of new coaches that I'm excited about at the gym, and got a new book we're starting to work on.
Nice.
But right now it's just getting everybody back under one roof and actually not living out of a suitcase.
Details.
Yeah.
I mean, suitcase living in a separated family, that's awesome for quality of life. So, and not stressful at all.
Well, full disclosure, I am on a current adrenal protocol. We can maybe chat about that offline. I forgot to mention that to you, but actually feeling really good. Had some real world experience for me. I'm always coaching other people on their food, and these folks had me log some food. It had been a long time since I'd really, really tracked, and had some really cool stuff kind of float to the surface in terms of my micronutrients.
Interesting.
Just wasn't eating, and I don't feel like I was eating enough vegetables, green, leafy, even if it wasn't, you know, super calorically dense. Mm-hmm. Just wasn't getting a lot, and changed that around. That's the other thing. We do have a garden now. We haven't had a garden since we've been renting for the past year, so got our garden back. And anyway.
Awesome.
That was a long answer to a short question.
That's good stuff, because then I don't need to come up with anything. So you keep doing more of that, and we'll be set. So,
fair enough.
Hey, remind folks about your background. We met ages ago at a CrossFit nutrition gig that I did, and give folks a little bit of that background.
Sure. So, background for me in general. Goodness gracious. Strength and conditioning background. We'll just start there. Got out of college, got into probably 10 years out of college, got into an outdoor boot camp company, CrossFitty company at the time. I was a full-time financial planner, had a small boutique firm here in Atlanta, myself and one partner, and kind of started to make the switch over. Well, I should say fell in love with kind of the group fitness personal training model. Had never really done much of that outside of team sports before. And yeah, was in the midst of zoning and counting almonds and all sorts of really crazy stuff back in 2008, 2009, and met my now lovely bride, Julie, through a food challenge. So we were trying to find ways to make weighing and measuring your food palatable, and kind of stumbled upon this idea of doing a food swap. So we started making, you know, you've been down that zone road before, mm-hmm. Rob. So rather than weighing and measuring ingredients for a gazillion recipes, you just do it for one. And so we started swapping food and making foods for some good friends of ours, Jeff and Melissa Hayes. Jeff was going through his first round of stem cell transplant. So he's on house arrest, and we were making up a bunch of extra food and taking it down to Jeff and Melissa. And that's how Julie and I met. And then from there, it's been kind of history. We started the gym together. We met you in Jacksonville, and you kind of turned my OCD brain around to the idea of just kind of eating real food, kind of tackling the quality side versus the quantity side, at least initially. And that has kind of grown and blossomed into, now we've got two cookbooks, working on a third, got a couple of gyms, got a couple of rugrats about the same age as yours. Mm-hmm. We seem to have procreated according to the same calendar.
Right. Old and tight together. Yeah. Old on the parents, tight together with the kids.
Yeah. And, that's kind of the history of things to this point. In terms of nutrition and kind of expanding my width, I guess, or my reach with that, just trying to stay up and stay in tune with the latest and greatest stuff that you guys put out, you and Cresser, and, we're annual participants and revelers in the Paleo FX scene, and like to use that as kind of our annual barometer for where everything's moving there. But we just try and keep up with you guys, and honestly, just cook tasty food.
You guys do an amazing job. I know you've been on the show before. Some folks might remember, or if they've read the foreword to your first book, we were back in Atlanta for my book tour with the first week of the book launch. And you guys had put together a spread at Jeff and Melissa's, and I was carving into some of your country curry. And I, when you write a diet book, then clearly the thing that you do next is you write the cookbook for it. And I was kind of noodling on this stuff. Now, I'm handy in the kitchen, but I wouldn't say I'm spectacular. And I just couldn't wrap my head around personally putting all this stuff together. And right or wrong, I kind of had some misgivings about just having some dietitian / chef ghost write a book for me. And so while I was carving into Charles and Julie's food, I looked at them literally with a mouthful of curry that was like five alarm hot. And I said, you guys need to write a cookbook. And you both looked at me like I grew six arms and, you know, my penis wiggled out of my shorts and started chasing you or something. You're like, are you kidding? And then I really, leaned on you guys pretty hard with that, and it ended up making a bestseller list, and it, in my opinion, is still one of the best ones out there, and there are a lot of them out there now. So that was pretty cool.
It was cool, and I think shortly after you said that, you did have a 4 or 5 alarm trip to the bathroom.
I did. About 3 a.m. I did. Yeah, that bathroom needed an exorcism and a priest and a shaman and a few other people to get it back in working order. But you guys have done amazing work with just making paleo eating practical and tasty ticking some of the boxes, of the classic comfort foods, out of that kind of Southern genre, but also with some Indian and Thai influences, which has been totally amazing. It's been interesting watching you guys, watching our own gym progress over the years. You started in a format that was largely come one, come all, group fitness model, more of a boot camp kind of emphasis. How have you guys evolved over time on the way that you coach folks?
Well, I tell you, excuse me, and I would even say evolving, because I still think we're playing with a formula. But my first introduction, really all of my athletic background, both from a participatory and also more on the coaching side, has really been group stuff. Team sports predominantly, and now coaching. And when I first got started, it was all outdoor boot camps. Actually, Jeff and Melissa had just started, I think, the month or two before I signed up for their boot camp. This is back in 2007. They had opened the doors to, I think, then the second affiliate in Atlanta. There's like 162 of them now. So in terms of where I started, it was all group fitness. Where we are today, Sam and I actually, we were catching up on some things before we got on the call today, and we're actually moving towards what I would call a hybrid model of still continuing to offer group classes. Personal training was the next obvious addition for me in terms of historically. So I went from just all group to starting to supplement both my personal income and also kind of the ability for the gym to bring on a different client. So we went the personal training route. And now we're starting to get to kind of a hybrid of a small group training modality. We've actually just started. I coached our first session with one of our new coaches, Lauren, this morning. But we're calling it strength class, and it's basically a 2 times a week protocol where it's a small group, but it's the same group. Everyone signs up for this one protocol, and it goes for 4 weeks, and then you can sign up for it again or not. You can kind of either jump in or jump out of it, or you can stay in it, or you can use it to kind of supplement whatever else you're doing in the gym. But it's a small group setting, but you get the same coach and the same clients every single day. And we're just now kicking this thing off, but I think it's got a lot of potential to see a varied number of people progress with basic strength lifts over the course of a month.
That's something that stands out to me. The challenge of the group fitness model in some regards, specifically with progression, is that you don't know when people are going to show up. Are they always coming Monday, Wednesday, Friday? Are they Tuesday, Thursday? Are they trying to come 5 days a week? So you plan out these training blocks, ideally. If you're thinking about a little bit of block periodization and progression and whatnot, but if somebody's gone from the gym for 2 weeks, they may not have seen a back squat or a deadlift or something for a month. And so the technique may not be there. They're not really ramping up in the strength characteristics, the movement quality. So I can really see a huge benefit with pulling people out and doing these dedicated intensives, and particularly with that group model where everybody's together and it's almost like going through BUDS or some sort of qualification thing where everybody's suffering together and they're that mutual suffering and support and everything. And then it seems like for the coaches, you guys, because you see them so frequently and because there's some sort of continuity to their schedule that you can really plan the progressions in a reasonable fashion. And it seems like people would really make some rapid progress with that.
That's our hope. And I would so the other piece to that we wanted to keep the groups at a reasonable size. So we're limiting it to 8 people. So you can kind of hold on to, I love the camaraderie community aspect of the group fitness model. you brought it up. The difficulty presents itself as when you really, as a coach, I don't know who's coming in the door, which can be a problem, at least in terms of preparing and programming and planning for that class. And then the other side of it, and we're a little bit different gym versus maybe NorCal in that we've got a handful of full-time coaches, but the majority of our coaches at present, it's kind of a classic, what I would call CrossFit model. They're former clients or trainers, but they have a full-time job outside of the gym. So they may be only in the gym for one shift a week. And so not only do we keep the client participation consistent, but we also keep the coach on the floor consistent in terms of exposure to that client. And we've started introducing, we've been using it now for about 6 months, the FMS screen as just a diagnostic tool. You know, let's just see what's going on, if there is anything. And so, you know, it allows us to take that screen now and that client and build out a progression specific to them over the course of that whole month, as opposed to just trying to shoot from the hip. Oh, here, let's see, should I use names to protect the innocent?
you do whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Okay, John is the 74-year-old, you know, retired doctor, and we don't know if he's coming in or not, but he's got a shoulder issue. And then you've got Jody over here, who's a 35-year-old mother of three, but played Division I sports, and she's basically a rock star. If they're coming to the same class, that's fine, as long as we know it's coming, so we can plan ahead and make sure that we got Jody and I don't even remember my other made-up name.
John.
So we got Jody and John both where they need to be from a conditioning standpoint. It's safe, it's effective, and the hits just keep on rolling.
Nice. So now what have you done both personally and within the gym to keep expanding your knowledge and skill base? Because, I mean, there's a million different ways to skin the cat, you know, Olympic lifting, gymnastics, kettlebells. What have you been doing specifically to improve as a coach and bring some new offerings to your clients?
Well, I just got, Lord, last weekend, I got my level 1 kettlebell certification from the folks at Strong First, which was an awesome weekend. We hosted them actually here at our Marietta location. And I've been following Strong First. Actually, I met Dan John a number of years ago through a connection with you, the Navy Special Warfare Program. But I've been following Dan's stuff for a while, got several of his books. But yeah, Strong First, got my kettlebell on and super pumped about that weekend. Sam and I got to do that together. In terms of literature, I've been keeping up. I read probably Eric Cressy or Mike Robertson about once a week. Those two guys are pretty sharp. But the kettlebells, it's been something I've wanted to do. I never took the kettlebell certification through the CrossFit program when I started, and thinking I kind of wanted to. I guess RKC and Strong First parted ways about 2 years ago, so I've been eyeing this one for a while. Outside of that, my personal experience, I've started, much to your encouragement, I've started rolling a little bit with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And I got to tell you, every day I learn something doing that I think comes to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of body awareness, in terms of leverage. I mean, because that's all lifting weights and strength and conditioning is applying leverage properly. And so, yeah, between kettlebell, the most recent kettlebell certification, and my exploratory beating down and shoring up all of the holes in my game, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, those are the only two tools I'm probably adding to in the next couple of months. I got a lot to learn with both of them.
Nice. So what was the curriculum in the Strong First Cert?
Goodness gracious. Curriculum was, there was a written test that was on Sunday, and then you had an endurance and a skill test where you had to, it was a body weight based, let's see, the endurance test was 100 snatches in 5 minutes, kettlebell snatches. I had to snatch the 24 kilo, which was, it was good. It was, it's, for those of you that do know me, I'm a fairly long, tall guy. And snatching a kettlebell 100 times over the head is, it's got to travel a ways.
That was a long large load, long distance, and quickly, yeah.
yeah, that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
But they have an endurance test. Well, it's a 3-day, well, I mean, let me back up. It's a 3-day certification. So the first 2 days are all drilling, skill work, hands-on. They broke us into small groups, and so you've got, goodness gracious, we had 3 master instructors and then 9, 10. We had 10 supportive instructors, and several of them were from the Atlanta area. So these are current SFG Level 1 trainers that come and volunteer their time to help with the certification. So all in all, there were 42 participants and then 16 trainers. So the ratio was really cool. There was a lot of 1-on-2 and 3-on-1 situations with the trainers. So there was a lot of eyes here, a lot of eyes on each candidate. And so 2 full days of drilling. They'd throw a couple of workouts in along the way and just kind of exposing us to different workout modalities, you know, couplets, triplets, and all that fun stuff, but also kind of grinding through, exploring the breath and how important that is for tensioning the body. That was probably one of the biggest takeaways I had for the weekend. And then on Sunday, it's test day, and so you test the endurance snatch, and then we had our written test, and then they take you through the press, the double kettlebell squat, so the double rack squat, single arm swing, the get up, double bell clean, and that's it. And you perform 5 to 10 movements of each. And now with the endurance test, they let a little bit more of the form go, just because you kind of go to shit after
4 minutes, 30 seconds. Yeah.
So, but it was really fun to watch and participate. So the coaches during the skill test, they can't do anything other than grade you. So there's no feedback. There's no coaching. They'll just tell you, I need to see that again or not. The really cool part was they didn't limit our ability as future instructors from coaching our fellow instructees. Mm. And so, you know, it was on test day, they divided each group up into subgroups. There were probably 4 of us in my group, and we just go one at a time. So they test the swing, then they test the press, and they test the get up. And so it was great because we could kind of huddle up behind whoever was under fire at the time. And if we saw something that we felt like might get them a demerit, we could tell them about it. And so it was a really kind of in the moment opportunity to test your skills as a coach and then turn around and test them as an athlete. So I had to redo my snatch on the skill test 3 times.
Oh, nice.
Which was not bad. I knew what I was doing wrong. It just took me a couple of times to fix it. But yeah, pass the flying colors. I tell you the thing that stood out the most over the weekend. I mean, the technique and the drilling of everything was awesome. Philosophically, so Dave Whitley, I don't know if you know that name. Mm-hmm, they call him the Iron Tamer. He's kind of a badass. Whitley was running a show, here, and he talked probably for 30 minutes on Saturday just about how to coach people, how to approach workouts. And this was on the heels of a discussion about biomechanical versus versus anatomical breathing, which I know you and I have shared tons of stuff through Jim Laird on all of that breathing magic. But they talked a lot about breathing, and then he talked about just kind of training in a smarter way. And I think the analogy he used is, you know, the lion's the king of the jungle, and the lion doesn't go chasing after the biggest, baddest wildebeest every day.
Right.
And I think Sam even tweeted about that on Saturday, because it was just kind of this wonderful, awe-inspiring moment of, yeah, I don't have to beat the tar out of myself every day to look and feel good and perform actually better.
Right.
And so, yeah, I actually it covered every aspect of training and recovery and, you know, a philosophical approach to understanding who you are and where you're trying to go. And then I hadn't done a lot of single hand work with kettlebells in a while. And that kind of volume over the weekend, man, I was wrecked.
Oh, I bet.
In a good way, but I was needing a vacation.
I have not gone through the Strong First yet. I did the RKC ages ago, like when it first came out, and was really impressed with it. Have always liked Pavel's work. Huge fan of Dan John. Seems like really, really phenomenal stuff. So you met Whit through a mutual acquaintance of ours, made an email introduction, and you started doing a little bit of Brazilian jiu-jitsu with them. What's that? You alluded to this, that you're getting a lot out of it, but, you know, why do you like Brazilian jiu-jitsu? I mean, clearly I'm a big fan, although it's one of these things where, depending on the day you get me, I may be walking out to a garbage bin with a can of lighter fluid and my gi and belt, and I'm getting ready to set it all on fire and be done. And then other days I'm totally enraptured with it. What have you been getting out of it, and what have you guys been working on?
Well, I've been working on not letting Whit beat the shit out of me. You know, I this is going to be a stretch of an analogy, but I absolutely love the game of golf. I learned it at a young age. I did not get remotely good at it or have a passion for it until later in life. But the thing I always enjoyed about golf was it got me outside with some people that I usually like to hang out with. And it was a sport where I got to play it with my grandfather and have fun. And I could always imagine playing that with my wife or my kids or my grandkids. You know, I kind of had that. And in the very short time that I have been rolling with Whit, it has come, I have realized that this is something that I could really and truly do. I don't have to do it every day. I don't play golf every day. I play when I can, not much these days, but I can see it being a sport that 20 or 30 years from now, I can still kind of, you know, grab a hold of my kids or grandkids and roll around with them. It's got that kind of stay power to me. In terms of what we're working on, I'm a sponge, man. I try and Whit's been really good. He tries to get me. So we went guard. We actually started in the mount and then worked our way back to guard. And then he went from guard to side guard, side control, or half guard, and then now side control. And then he just tries to drill one or two things each week. And I have no clue on offense. I'll admit, I'll just say that when he puts me, because we always switch, like he'll start in my guard and then I'll get in his guard. And the minute I get in any type of position that would require or necessitate me being offensive, I'm clueless. Like right. All I'm thinking about is don't hurt me. Right. But it's been good. Just, you know, the biggest thing for me to get over, which apparently is a lot of folks, is you really want to maintain control and keep people close. And, or at least so far he's teaching me to, you know, get get my opponent close so that I have control over him. And that's, you know, when you're thinking about fighting or defending or keeping things at bay, generally you're trying to close the or widen the gap. And it's been eye-opening to get close and personal and actually feel how much that increases the leverage and your ability to apply what I would call apply force.
Right.
But,
Whit and I got to attend a 3-day gig with Henry Akins, who is a Hickson Gracie black belt and ran the Hickson Academy for, I think, 10 years. And he really has a very different take on Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I think the sport of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu now has something like 10,000 moves cataloged, you know, just all these different variations and really interesting stuff. And Henry said that his total curriculum is about 150 moves. And
wow.
So a tiny fraction of what exists out in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu land. But it's the way he does it all, it works for gi, it works for no gi, like your grips and everything are exactly the same. A very non-attribute driven. So if you're strong and fast and have a lot of cardio, that's great. But the way that he sets this up, it's not driven just by having being strong and fast and having a lot of cardio. And also it really lends itself for me to, an older dude, limited time, pick a couple of things, drill the heck out of them and get reasonably good at these couple of things, which really ends up boiling down to timing and, you know, the right positioning, right posture, correct pressure, which that's something that I can wrap my head around. And it's something that I think, you know, with 2 or 3 days a week of training, you could get pretty good at it in a couple of years. Not world championship level or anything, but you've got a decent chance at having some self-defense. And when you get into roll with somebody, to your point of getting out and, you know, playing some golf and having fun, like you've got enough that, you know, like if you play some guitar, you can pick up and strum and play some music and all that type of stuff. Did I send you that video from the folks Axis of Awesome? So they're really funny. I think Australian kind of comedy musical group, but they get in and they play like every pop song from the last like 30 or 40 years, and they use 4 chords with it, and they're just like banging through this stuff, and it's everything from the Eagles to Justin Timberlake, you know, and so they've got 4 chords. The dude just keeps mixing up these 4 chords on the guitar, and they just shift through and they play all this stuff. So I've had this idea for like 4-chord jiu-jitsu, you know, where you've got the really basic, not a lot of fluff to it, but just getting proficient at those basic elements. So that's cool. And you're a whippersnapper of 39, 40?
41,
oh,
man.
You're 41
I'm,
now.
You're I'm right behind you.
Up on it, man.
Yeah.
Man. So
yeah.
That's awesome. So Charles, you also have organized a pretty cool shindig that's going to be happening later in the summer, early fall. Tell folks about the Cube Summit.
So yeah, we have put together, I'd say you're participating in it, Rob.
I am participating, but you got the you actually are doing all the work. So
I'm skull sweating this one pretty hard, right?
Right.
So yeah, this thing kind of got born out of, so it's the Cube Summit. It's October the 17th. We're hosting it here in Atlanta. I tell you what it is. It's a modern day interpretation of what I think the Black Box Summit might have been like. I was not fortunate enough to have been there, but I know you were there, Rob. But it was just kind of this is a best practices, best thoughts, best minds kind of getting together. And it kind of came to me. Atlanta's obviously a pretty big hub in terms of fitness, in terms of athletics, both at the professional level, collegiate level. And it's a pretty busy airport too, so they say. But my history in strength and conditioning has been blessed with relationships with folks like yourself, Jim Laird, John Wellborn, Dave Werner, and these are all the guys that I've kind of pulled together for a one-day hyper-focused summit on kind of absolutely squeezing the most and best out of somebody that you can. Now, that can apply both on the field, in the training room, and I've actually started pinging several of my friends here in Atlanta that are kind of C-level executives, because these are typically your type A folks, and they work hard, play hard. So, you know, in terms of kind of getting some of the best and brightest minds together to talk about training, optimal training strategies, recovery, optimal movement, optimal nutrition, it just made sense for me to try and bring something local to the Atlanta community that, you know, we'll see how it goes this year. I'd love to grow it. I feel like there's a void to some degree in this idea of bringing in a, what I would call a non-orthodox approach to training, where you kind of throw a bunch of stuff up on a wall and, you know, for each and every person, something's going to stick. And if it does, great. And if it doesn't, that's okay. But I don't think there's a single person that's interested in human performance or coaching or just eking the most performance out of their own body they can that wouldn't take something away from this weekend, like a life-changing, earth-shattering, valuable tool that changes either their game or their clients' games or their company's game. So really excited about what we got going on.
And so it's John Wellborn, Jim Laird, Dave Warner, Matt Lalonde, and then I will be making sure that the bathrooms are clean and NorCal margaritas are made.
Correct. Yep. Yes. Cool. I have ordered a margarita machine just for you, Rob.
Nice. Cool.
But it's a one-day summit. All day we're going to serve a super tasty lunch, but it's 8 in the morning till 6 at night. We're going to just hard charge it through, and the space is awesome. We're actually going to do a lot of on-the-floor movement sessions. We've got a couple scheduled. The cool thing I'm telling folks is, because everybody that's going to be there has got a pretty good background in movement. I know that you and Matt specifically are going to be talking nutrition over lunch, but when it comes time for Jim's session or John's session or Dave's session, it's going to be all eyes on the floor. So it's a really cool opportunity for the participants to get some very personal and up and close work with some of the people that I view as being top of the game in the strength and conditioning community out there. And you're certainly one of those, Rob.
Oh, well, thank you. I am very excited to go do that. I'm excited to eat some of your country curry again. Where can folks track down the Cube Summit information?
Best place is the website cubesummit.us.
Cool.
cubesummit.us. And if you've got any questions, just there's a contact me link there, and that'll hit my inbox at some point. But we look forward. It should be a fun and festive fall in Atlanta. Hopefully not too hot by October, but we're going to have some fun.
Yeah, I'm going to be out in Virginia at the Polyface Farms gig mid-August, so I'm going to get a Brazilian wax before I go out for that, because it's going to be kind of steamy at that one. It was the last time that I went out for that, too. So also, if I'm not mistaken, Rob Wolf listeners, followers, there's a special perk for them with regards to the Cube Summit.
20% off.
Holy smokes. Okay, I didn't even
know
that.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So go to the website. When you go to buy your ticket, enter the promo code WOLFPACK, and you will save 20% off of the price of your ticket.
Sweet. Okay, we'll get that in the show notes. And Charles, what else? I think we Charles being very well organized. He actually sent me the list of talking points today. So I think we ended up hitting most of them. What's the timeline on the new book? Any type of a guesstimate on that?
That's a good question. The manuscript deadline is January.
Okay.
So I don't know. Honestly, I don't know beyond that, because the publisher will kind of run the show after that. You know, we'll get them what they need, and I'm sure there'll be some edits and revisions. Not that you know anything about editing a book.
No.
Oh yeah, tear my eyes out.
Right.
But I don't. We're supposed to have this thing wrapped up from our end by January, so it'll hopefully be sometime 2016. I'm sure we'll chat before then.
Cool.
When we know more. But yeah, that's the exciting part. of the book world. And I honestly, I just want to get our families back. I want to come visit you, man. All this farming,
man, it's been pretty cool. I got to say, like, I'm busy as heck. The City Zero project is really starting to take off. I'll update folks on that here pretty soon, but it's been a lot of work, but we're getting some pretty major momentum and breakthroughs with that. And then Nikki had the idea of moving us out of suburban hell and going out onto a farm in central Reno. So we've got 2.5 acres in the middle of Reno, and we do surface irrigation from the Truckee River, and we've got marmots and quail all over the place here, ducks, geese, skunks, bobcats. I actually have bobcat tracks in the backyard this morning. We got some chickens. We have goats and sheep on order for January. So it's pretty cool, but I think that this is Nikki's clandestine plan of working me to death, and then she can bury me in a shallow grave and get a young, good-looking husband. So I'm on to her. I'm on to that Italian. So yeah, but it's cool, and we would love to have you guys out.
Well, you did have the concrete slab installed for when we pull up the RV, right?
Yes. Yeah. Although right. Sean and Chrissy, I think, have first billing on that, but we'll pull one next door to them, and we'll have a bunch of trucks up on blocks and hound dogs, and it'll be just like my childhood all over again. We'll have some double wide trailers and swamp coolers, and we'll be set.
Well, life is but a circle, Rob.
It is. It's true.
Yeah, man.
Well, awesome. Well, Charles, where can folks track you down? CubeSummit.us. What's the website for Atlanta Strength and Conditioning?
Yeah, AtlantaSC.com. And then if you're curious about the food side, PaleoComfortFoods.com. Those are my three web addresses, web spots. Awesome. Yeah, man.
Cool. Well, Charles, it was great having you on. Very much looking forward to the Cube Summit. Go easy on me when I see you in October, when we get to do some rolling together, and can't wait for the kiddos to play.
Sounds like a plan, Rob. Thanks.
All right, Charles. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.